Our reading this morning is from Genesis 7 and 8, and it kind of skips around, so if I start on the wrong verse, I'm sorry. In the 100th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. The rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the domestic animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep in the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained. The Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of humankind, for the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth, nor will I ever again destroy every living creature as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson is the gospel of Matthew, Matthew 24. If you are able to stand and comfortable to do so, I invite you. Jesus was talking to the disciples. They had been hearing about people that were prophesying and telling stories and predicting and asking questions for secrets. And he said, but about the day and the hour no one knows, neither angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the day of Noah, so as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake therefore, for you do not know what day our Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Somehow this last week I read a quote. I don't even remember where I saw it, but I remember reading it and just stopped me cold. Emily Dickinson, and she wrote, how strange that nature does not knock and yet does not intrude. And I thought of Hurricane Harvey. Her Harvey knocked and Harvey intruded, I'll tell you what. 51 inches of rain. Average rainfall in Colorado was between 8 and 15 inches a year. 15 inches is a lot. What would we do with 51 inches? We'd open some beachfront property is what we would do. Incomprehensible. Can you imagine them being in the middle of that? Can you imagine them as they were struggling with the waters, and still the windows of heaven were open and flood and more rain coming? I'll bet there was more than a few that thought of Noah and the ark and the flood. We need to think about that, and we need to talk about that a little bit. We need to change our cosmology. All of us know about the solar system, right? I don't know if there's any flat earthers in our gathering here today. But in their worldview, it was a flat earth. There was nothing when the chaos of before creation. But then in the creation, it was like dome formed. And the envisionment I have is going to the bottom of the ocean and building a dome, a habitat in the bottom of the ocean and living there, because The dome, the firmament, holds back the waters. And in fact, I've seen pictures of their ideal. It's a bowl and it's water and there's land in the middle of it. And there's a dome over the top with water over that. And it's all on the back of a turtle. I don't know how the turtle... It's a tortoise. My mistake. It's a tortoise. And I don't know where it fits in. Doesn't matter. But listen to this. Listen to the creation story, Genesis 1. And think about that cosmology. Everything is... You're in the midst of the ocean, if you will. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept across the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And so it was. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let land appear." And so it was. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. Then God created vegetation, everything that grows, all of those things, and I won't read all of that. But God saw that it was good. And there was evening, there was morning, the third day. So think about what happened here. We have chaos. We have darkness. We have water everywhere. We have all of the wind, all this, and nothing in order. And out of this chaos, God created. And God created place and vegetation and life and light. It's intriguing that it's several days later before God invents the sun and the moon. But light comes first. God can do anything. Amen? So out of that chaos, God created. And then we read about the Noah epic, the story. And by the way, the flood epic is common to almost all religions. Someday I'm going to take a sabbatical and I'm going to study all the flood stories in all the different religions. There's something primordial about that. Something in our being, something that's fascinating about it all. But the flood comes because God wants to start over. God uncreates creation. Here's the dome above the world, and God opens the windows. Did you hear that in the passage in the scripture? The windows of heaven were opened. The waters flooded in. That's where the windows of heavens and the water, all how that all ties together in their understanding of what was occurring. And the flood comes, and God saves a remnant, Noah and the ark. But God's creation and chaos, I wonder how many people in Texas felt that chaos. I can't quite imagine some of the fear, some of the darkness and the cold and the wind and the water coming up, and then days and days of water. And water and nothing to drink. My mother used to have a saying, "Water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink." I am told that's from the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. Is that true? I have got to read that. It wasn't on the seminary reading list, I guess. Amidst all that's happening and all of the flooding, there will be self-proclaimed false prophets, self-proclaimed prophets that are false prophets that will come forward and begin to interpret what that means. It's a sign of this. It's a sign of that. It's punishment for this. It's about that. That always seems to happen. And it isn't helpful except for the ones who want to be famous by making their prophecies. And it's uninformed. It's very clear that there will not be another flood. There will not be another Noah event. Do you remember the event that happened after that? God saw
all that had happened. He saw everything that happened. And he said, I establish my covenant with you, Noah, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is a sign of the covenant for all future generations. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. In the midst of Hurricane Harvey, I'm sure there was a few people wondering if maybe God had changed God's mind again. But those who prophesy and make dire prophecies about that are uninformed, because no one knows what will be coming. No one can prophesy these. Not the day, the hour, not the angels of heaven, not even the Son of God. So we can tell them to step away. Hurricane Harvey was evil. It's an intriguing statement. It's an intriguing thing. We think about evil, and we want to think that evil has a source, and there is some theology that has a power of evil. But this is not a power of evil. This is a power of nature. Is nature evil? Nature can be evil at times. Lightning that kills, hurricanes, tornadoes, those things can be evil things. And there are people there that we're praying for. Perhaps the hardest is those who've lost loved ones. In Jefferson Avenue, your sister church, one of the men said, I have cousins in Houston. He said it took many days, but we did talk to them. They're okay. He didn't specify whether they had homes, whether the homes had been flooded, whether they had adequate water, whether they still had jobs. They were alive. Amen. There are people who will never have their businesses again. There are people who will never be able to rebuild. There are people who lost everything without resources to recover. How will we respond? How are we going to help them? Good brothers and sisters. And it was an amazing event. The newscasters went on and on. They said, Houston is the fourth largest city in the United States. I didn't realize that. The fourth largest. I don't know how many million people that is. A lot. 6 million? Joseph's about 6 million. What? 6.5 million people. And it's the most ethnically diverse in the nation. I heard that several different times from several different commentators. Different races, different cultures, different languages, different everything. And they get along in Houston, by and large. Kind of like our families. I don't know about you, but my family of origin kind of gets along. There are days I love my brother, and there are days that he's on my do-not-do list. Houston, that diverse culture. And the flood, unlike Hurricane Katrina. How many of you remember Katrina? Flooding in New Orleans, it disproportionately impacted very poor areas. People that could move out of those low-lying areas had moved out long ago. And so the very poor, the very destitute, the very least likely to have resources were the ones most impacted. But not in Houston. Watch the news as they show different pictures. You'll see some rural house in the middle of nowhere, and then you'll also see a suburban street with well-manicured lawns and beautiful houses and all of their furnishings stacked on the curb because they've been destroyed. Everyone, rich and poor. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust, on the rich and on the poor. So this wasn't an act of God. It was an act of nature. Years ago, I remember some event happened, and I said, it's nature, and nature is random. And that's not true. Interesting thing happened in this. A week before Harvey hit, the meteorologists on the TV started saying, it's going to come ashore, and it's going to go inland, then it's going to turn around and go back out to sea, and then it's going to go up the coast and go on shore again. A week beforehand, and I said, how did she know? How did she figure that out? Who would? Storms don't do that. And they have computers now that model how nature responds. Have you seen that? They'll even show the multiple tracks from the multiple models. The European models are more sophisticated than the United States models right now. They have bigger computers that are designed for that specific task. Because you have to model the whole world. You have to model the weather from Tokyo to Japan to the Arctic to Peru. And it all fits together and it's not random at all. It's relatively predictable. Barbara Shaw is our organist at Jefferson Avenue. Father Earl McWilliams comes with her, 90. I think he's 98. He's a pistol. Almost deaf, but he can sure keep up with you. He was a firefighter. He had 11 different fire stations when he was in the Houston area. And he talked about that. And he said, do you know that the water temperature 7 degrees higher than it should be off Houston? He said, we're in trouble. I didn't hear that statistic. I didn't hear that number. But we can model that. We can see that. We can see what's happening. We might have created some problems with the world around us, and we're becoming aware of that. And we're beginning to see and understand that nature will respond in a logical way if we are about what we are about. So this evil event that occurred was a matter of nature, and nature is nature. And nature will do what nature does, and there will be catastrophes. But God was not in creating, causing, and inflicting this hurricane. But God was in the hurricane relief. Have you seen some of those stories? Seen some of those pictures? People from New Jersey brought boats to Texas to help. That's a bit of a drive. People from Colorado. There was a guy on the news last night. He has one of those junk services. We haul your junk away. Big truck says, you know, bring us your junk. He emptied it out, filled it up with donations. He's driving it to Texas. Going to drive it tomorrow and be back Tuesday morning. He says, I'm not going to be down there using up their resources. He says, I'm taking them resources. He opened the back. The first thing that caught my eye was diapers. If you're a mom with a baby, you know what's essential in life. And I'll tell you what. And water. And those very basic things. People on the West Coast, people on the East Coast, people in Louisiana. One guy says, well, they came and helped bail us out after Katrina. He says, we're back to help them now. And people carrying people. Some of the amazing pictures. And the first responders that worked 24-hour days and did not protect their own homes. Coming back to find the devastation. People stepping up to help. Now, I thought about it. It ran through my mind. I wonder if I could go down there and I could do something. I could participate in some way and help. And I'm watching them haul furniture out of their houses that's been water-soaked and destroyed. I thought, well, my back will never do that. And so I thought about it, and I thought, I don't have a boat, and that won't work. And in fact, I would just be a liability there, wouldn't I? So bottom line is what I can do is help the pastors there that are helping the people there. God is there through us and in us. Different people of different political persuasions. Think about that. The division in our nation, we've been talking about that. We've been praying about that. Republican, Democrat. Nobody seemed to be splitting up on who was rescuing who. You know, you go out in a boat and you say, are you a good Democrat or are you a Republican? Didn't happen. Because we're people first. And we're God's people. God is in that. God is in the midst of all of us being people together. God at work. And we're thankful. Pray for those people. Give thanks to God that God gives us ways to participate as well. And may we follow where God leads us. Amen.